Werkrealschul Abschlussprüfung. Listening Comprehension Test. There are four parts to the test. Parts 1, 2, 3 and 4. You mustn't speak during the test. Now, skip to part 1, please. Part 1. Listen to two young people talking about their next summer holidays. You will hear the conversation twice. For tasks A to E, fill in the grid.
Hey Diego, what are you going to do for summer break?
I'm thinking about going back home to Mexico. What about you?
I'm going back to Australia. I'm so looking forward to the beautiful beaches there.
Really?
Yes. Everybody knows that the best beaches are on the East Coast. Does Mexico have any beaches?
Yeah. We have really, really nice beaches down by the Caribbean Sea. Like in southern Mexico, there's this beautiful place called Cancun, and the ocean is really blue, and the sand is so white. It looks like snow. It's a really amazing place.
Can you surf at the beach?
I'm sure you can surf in some places, yeah.
What about snorkeling?
Yeah, definitely. It's the Caribbean Sea, so the water is crystal clear. It's amazing.
Well, have you ever been to the Great Barrier Reef?
No, but I've heard about it. Isn't it the biggest one in the world?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have the second biggest one in Mexico.
Ah, this could be turned into a debate on who has the best beaches.
Maybe so. But what I like about this place called Cancun is that it has a lot of history. Have you ever heard about the Mayan civilization?
No.
It's an ancient civilization settled in southern Mexico. So this is where the ruins are. They were very advanced people.
Talking about special places, I'd really like to see Uluru in Australia again. Perhaps you know that big red rock in the middle of nowhere, which is also called Ayers Rock? I really love it.
No, I haven't heard of it, but it sounds interesting.
I think we have two very interesting holiday plans. Well, I suppose I could go and compare our beaches.
We could do a home exchange. You can go to Mexico and I can go to Australia.
Okay, let's do that one day. Hey Diego, what are you going to do for summer break?
I'm thinking about going back home to Mexico. What about you?
I'm going back to Australia. I'm so looking forward to the beautiful beaches there.
Really?
Yes. Everybody knows that the best beaches are on the East Coast. Does Mexico have any beaches?
Yeah. We have really, really nice beaches down by the Caribbean Sea. Like in southern Mexico, there's this beautiful place called Cancun, and the ocean is really blue, and the sand is so white. It looks like snow. It's a really amazing place.
Can you surf at the beach?
I'm sure you can surf in some places, yeah.
What about snorkeling?
Yeah, definitely. It's the Caribbean Sea, so the water is crystal clear. It's amazing.
Well, have you ever been to the Great Barrier Reef?
No, but I've heard about it. Isn't it the biggest one in the world?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have the second biggest one in Mexico.
Ah, this could be turned into a debate on who has the best beaches.
Maybe so. But what I like about this place called Cancun is that it has a lot of history. Have you ever heard about the Mayan civilization?
No.
It's an ancient civilization settled in southern Mexico. So this is where the ruins are. They were very advanced people.
Talking about special places, I'd really like to see Uluru in Australia again. Perhaps you know that big red rock in the middle of nowhere, which is also called Ayers Rock? I really love it.
No, I haven't heard of it, but it sounds interesting.
I think we have two very interesting holiday plans. Well, I suppose I could go and compare our beaches.
We could do a home exchange. You can go to Mexico and I can go to Australia.
Okay, let's do that one day.
This is the end of part one. Now, skip to part two. Part 2. Listen to Mariella and Eric talking about immigration in America. You will hear the recording twice. For tasks A to E, tick the correct answer.
So, Eric, what's the situation about immigration in the United States? Is it similar to Italy?
Actually, from what you told me, it sounds really similar. The US has a lot of immigration. We get a lot of people from Latin America or Central America. They either cross the border from Mexico or they come by boat. Similar to Italy.
I understand that a lot of people are from South America or Central America. Are they now starting to teach Spanish in schools?
Spanish has been taught in schools for many years now, but I don't think they do a very good job. Most people can't speak Spanish. But many of the immigrants who come to the US do a really good job of learning English. The first generation struggles, but then the second generation. Their children become bilingual rather quickly, so speaking two languages is no problem for them.
When foreigners come to the United States and find a job, do they earn the same amount of money as the Americans?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think most employers pay the same wage. But what happens is that often only people who are new to the country will take certain jobs. For example, they work in fast food companies or maybe on farms, sometimes in construction. Since the pay is not that great, it's mainly immigrants who apply for such jobs.
Would you say immigrants are important for America?
It's a very controversial issue. Some people think if there weren't so many people coming into the country, then people that were born in the country would apply for those jobs and get paid more. Others say the country was developed by having immigrants come into the country. So economically, it's very important, I think.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric. So, Eric, what's the situation about immigration in the United States? Is it similar to Italy?
Actually, from what you told me, it sounds really similar. The US has a lot of immigration. We get a lot of people from Latin America or Central America. They either cross the border from Mexico or they come by boat. Similar to Italy.
I understand that a lot of people are from South America or Central America. Are they now starting to teach Spanish in schools?
Spanish has been taught in schools for many years now, but I don't think they do a very good job. Most people can't speak Spanish. But many of the immigrants who come to the US do a really good job of learning English. The first generation struggles, but then the second generation. Their children become bilingual rather quickly, so speaking two languages is no problem for them.
When foreigners come to the United States and find a job, do they earn the same amount of money as the Americans?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I think most employers pay the same wage. But what happens is that often only people who are new to the country will take certain jobs. For example, they work in fast food companies or maybe on farms, sometimes in construction. Since the pay is not that great, it's mainly immigrants who apply for such jobs.
Would you say immigrants are important for America?
It's a very controversial issue. Some people think if there weren't so many people coming into the country, then people that were born in the country would apply for those jobs and get paid more. Others say the country was developed by having immigrants come into the country. So economically, it's very important, I think.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric.
This is the end of part 2. Now, skip to part 3. Part 3. Listen to a report about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. You will hear the report twice. For tasks A to E, take notes to complete the cluster.
What is the Great Pacific Garbage Patch? Well, first of all, let's talk about what it's not. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch is not one big island of trash floating on the water. There's also not only one existing patch. They exist throughout the oceans, but the Pacific Garbage Patch is definitely the most famous one. Garbage patches are large areas of waste in the sea. They are made up of tiny plastic pieces called microplastics that are less than 5 millimeters long. It's more like pepper flakes swirling in a soup than something you can skim off the surface. You might also have some larger items like plastic bottles, but it's possible to sail through a garbage patch and not see anything. And that's a massive problem for the ocean and for us. People often ask why we can't just lift out and remove all the marine waste in the ocean, and the answer is, unfortunately, it's just not that simple. The first challenge is the size of these garbage patches. They're huge, and they're constantly moving. If we tried to just take out the waste, we would disturb the marine life, like plants, animals, and other organisms, because there is rubbish from the ocean's surface all the way down to the sea floor. So what can we do? Well, the ultimate solution is prevention. And we need to keep that as our highest priority. We can reduce our eco-footprint, reuse materials, and recycle items to keep trash out of the ocean in the first place. And we can take part in things like beach cleanups. It's a lot easier to deal with waste before it gets into the ocean. Until we stop marine waste at the source, we'll just be cleaning it up forever. What is the Great Pacific Garbage Patch? Well, first of all, let's talk about what it's not. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch is not one big island of trash floating on the water. There's also not only one existing patch. They exist throughout the oceans, but the Pacific Garbage Patch is definitely the most famous one. Garbage patches are large areas of waste in the sea. They are made up of tiny plastic pieces called microplastics that are less than 5 millimeters long. It's more like pepper flakes swirling in a soup than something you can skim off the surface. You might also have some larger items like plastic bottles, but it's possible to sail through a garbage patch and not see anything. And that's a massive problem for the ocean and for us. People often ask why we can't just lift out and remove all the marine waste in the ocean. And the answer is, unfortunately, it's just not that simple. The first challenge is the size of these garbage patches. They're huge, and they're constantly moving. If we tried to just take out the waste, we would disturb the marine life, like plants, animals, and other organisms, because there is rubbish from the ocean's surface all the way down to the sea floor. So what can we do? Well, the ultimate solution is prevention, and we need to keep that as our highest priority. We can reduce our eco-footprint, reuse materials, and recycle items to keep trash out of the ocean in the first place. And we can take part in things like beach cleanups.
It's a lot easier to deal with waste before it gets into the ocean. Until we stop marine waste at the source, we'll just be cleaning it up forever.
This is the end of part 3. Now skip to part 4. Part 4. Listen to a report about different ways to improve learning. You'll hear the report twice. For tasks A to E, tick the correct answer.
Learning not only belongs to school life, it's a lifetime thing. Here are four of the most common types of learners. 1. Visual learners. Students who learn by seeing and observing things, including pictures or diagrams, understand information better when it's presented in a visual way. These are the doodling students, your list makers, and your students who take notes. Things like whiteboards or smart boards help them when they are taught in class. They often need opportunities to draw things for better understanding. 2. Auditory learners. These students need to hear the sound and would much rather listen to a book than read the book, and they often use their own voices to find new concepts and ideas. These types of learners prefer reading out loud to themselves. They aren't afraid to speak up in class and are great at verbally explaining things. Additionally, they may be slower at reading and may often repeat things a teacher tells them. 3. Experiencing learners. Experiencing learners, sometimes called tactile learners, learn better by doing things. They like to get involved by acting out events or using their hands to touch and handle in order to understand concepts. These learners might struggle to sit still and often excel at sports or like to dance. They may need to take more frequent breaks when studying. For better learning efforts, teachers should help them by getting them moving. For example, they can be instructed to act a scene from a book or something similar. 4. Reading or writing learners. Reading or writing learners prefer to learn through written words. While there is some mixture with visual learning, these types of learners learn far better by writing, reading articles or books, writing in diaries, looking up words in the dictionary, and searching the internet for just about everything. This is probably the easiest way of learning, because the traditional teaching is based on writing essays, doing research, and reading books. Learning not only belongs to school life, it's a lifetime thing. Here are four of the most common types of learners. 1. Visual learners. Students who learn by seeing and observing things, including pictures or diagrams, understand information better when it's presented in a visual way. These are the doodling students, your list makers, and your students who take notes. Things like whiteboards or smart boards help them when they are taught in class. They often need opportunities to draw things for better understanding. 2. Auditory learners. These students need to hear the sound and would much rather listen to a book than read the book, and they often use their own voices to find new concepts and ideas. These types of learners prefer reading out loud to themselves. They aren't afraid to speak up in class and are great at verbally explaining things. Additionally, they may be slower at reading and may often repeat things a teacher tells them. 3. Experiencing learners. Experiencing learners, sometimes called tactile learners, learn better by doing things. They like to get involved by acting out events or using their hands to touch and handle in order to understand concepts. These learners might struggle to sit still and often excel at sports or like to dance. They may need to take more frequent breaks when studying. For better learning efforts, teachers should help them by getting them moving. For example, they can be instructed to act a scene from a book or something similar. 4. Reading or writing learners. Reading or writing learners prefer to learn through written words. While there is some mixture with visual learning, these types of learners learn far better by writing, reading articles or books, writing in diaries, looking up words in the dictionary, and searching the internet for just about everything. This is probably the easiest way of learning, because the traditional teaching is based on writing essays, doing research, and reading books.
This is the end of part 4. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers.